I want to look at the temptation of Christ a minute and see if we can get a clear idea of what he rejected and whether or not it'll help you understand this thing called pillars. So it's Luke chapter 4. I'm hanging around Harry too much. There are little pieces of paper all over the place. Then I forget what I have them there for.
Thank you for not saying what you were going to say.
What?
I'm like Harry. You're not.
Huh?
You're not.
What does that mean?
You're not like me.
Well, you said that disparagingly.
No. Well, that's your spin on it. You're not like me.
All right, Jesus has just been baptized. The baptizing prefigured, it was his burial, it prefigured his death 3.5 years or 42 months later. So the first thing that happened after his baptism, his burial as Son of Man, then what happened? First thing that happened, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested. That's not a very nice thing to do. Now, the Holy Spirit is not going to do anything different to you than he did to him, because as we are in this world, as he is in this world, so are we. So the moment you understand baptism, that it's your burial, then the first thing, if you don't understand it's your burial, the Holy Spirit's still coming at you trying to show you that everything is stupid.
For whatever it's worth, my guess would be that this, the interval between the baptism and going into the wilderness, to me, that would be the biggest temptation, the biggest test, because he had just gotten it right. There'd just been an audible voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son. He's arrived. As Son of Man, he's arrived." Okay, my experience is it would be, "Damn, I got it right."
But the difference is between you and him, there's just a slight difference. For the 30 years previous to his baptism, he pushed everything to the limit. And he saw that there was no life in man. As Son of Man, using his brain, his senses, he saw that it was empty and futile.
And he just heard a voice from heaven telling him he was right.
Right, but he's not, because he knows that there's nothing in him.
That's why he went to the wilderness.
All right. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Now, again, if you believe in comic book theology, then you will think that there was this beast or being that was red and had a tail and had horns coming out of his head. And this was this being that tempted Christ. Well, then you have comic book theology. What tempted him was his Son of Man mind, which the scriptures call the devil. This will be shocking to some. It shouldn't be to anybody here. But it was his mind that tempted him. Wait a minute. I'm really hungry. I'm really hungry. And I'm, I just heard, as Harry said, that the Father was well pleased with me. This is my beloved Son. So I can command those stones to be turned into bread and I'll be fed. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound a little charismatic? Charismaniac-y?
In those days, he needed a $20 million airplane.
That's right. So he put it on his website.
I'm just thinking about that position of being Son of Man and Son of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. Son of Man doesn't know anything but to, let's do something with this. Let's make it happen. Now that I've got this Holy Ghost working for me. But the baptism precludes that.
Because he saw it was his death.
Yeah, so it's like, the wilderness is a big deal.
It's the biggest it can be. But you can't escape this. This was your, let's pump some energy into this stage.
Yeah.
Now all of us have to, we all have to go through this. Okay. And Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And what does that mean? The whole issue is that the bread that you eat, the food that you eat, is just a type. It's just a parable for what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. And he knew, because he understood as Son of Man what the baptism was. He understood the futility of leaning on his own arm of understanding in anything, even in the way that God worked. He had to always be in total dependence on God, so that his sustenance would come from God alone, not by any act that he did in the name of God. So the pillars, this is the evidence that the pillars were destroyed. And they were destroyed because he saw through. I just spit all over myself again. What?
Spit on the mic.
Don't spit on Mike. Mike is in Minnesota. What?
Don't spit on the mic.
Why?
Kevin has to handle it.
Does everybody grok this? Does everybody understand this a little bit? Can you see why your mind cannot be trusted for anything?
Yeah.
What?
The thing about the manna only being good for a day. It's like he couldn't hold on to what had happened an hour ago. And he couldn't anticipate what was going to happen. He had to.
If you think about it, every single essence, every single now, from the time of his baptism onward, was a subjection of any apparent will that he thought he had to the will of the Father. Every step of the way, he never, ever, ever leaned on his own arm of understanding. Now, he did all the time up in his so-called silent years. That's what he did. But from the moment, this is why baptism is so critical. It's not the act of baptism, that's just getting wet. It's, or getting sprinkled if you happen to be a. Anyway, it's the act of the certainty that your baptism was your burial. And it has to be total. It can't, it has to be, that's why, I mean, for me, 3 months after I became a believer, I was homeless, which was, it didn't compute by anything that I could understand, and everything in me was tempted to do something about it. I was hungry. I wasn't 40 days. I got hungry. But I had to face that. Is this is this doctrine into which we've been delivered, or then in which I was delivered, is it real or does it depend on me? If it depends on me for anything, then it is worthless. That's what I knew. Now, and thank God, I never separated my life. I didn't have a religious life and a secular life. There was no, I mean, I searched the scriptures and I could not see any place where there's any difference between just being a regular believer and a disciple. If you were a believer, you were a disciple. And if you were a disciple, then you had to live in this total dependence. You couldn't go segment your life. That's what the Pharisees did. You had to see everything as Him, all and in all, no matter what it cost you. From the very beginning, it came from some of you in this room. Well, that's easy for you to say, Ole. You don't have a family. Anybody ever remember that? Anyway. So that's the first thing. The second test. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And what that means is he showed him all the kingdoms of the world that are past and future, and not just those that were then. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He showed him all things in time and space. Now listen to what Satan said about this. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. This is the testimony that everything in time and space is the kingdom of the evil one. You can't be in the will of God and be concerned with anything that's time and space. Even if Osborne says, what did he say about you're so spiritual you can't be of any value, or how can you sell
it? Osborne?
Yeah.
Why get so spiritual there's no market?
If there's no market for it. Yeah, that was my favorite one. Why get so spiritual if there's no market for it? There is no market for it. It can't be bought or sold. And the test is how you respond to the stimuli. Now here, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said, all of this power, all of this. In other words, what that meant was, at that moment, he could have healed every person. He could have destroyed poverty. He could have destroyed suffering. He could have done everything that the human race wants him to do. He said, I can't do that. I must be about my Father's business. His Father's business didn't have anything to do with your business or his business. The Son of Man, his mind was the same as yours. It was just as dumb as ours is. What?
Well, I'm wondering, it gives no indication that he considered these temptations. All it does is say it just shows his instant response. No way, Jose, if I can go that route.
Because he was baptized. The baptism certified that he had seen the end of all of that.
Yeah. So he didn't struggle with it.
There was no struggle.
Yeah.
There was no warfare. Because he was dead. He was buried. And so there's no more. And that's why we are they that continue with him in his test. Now, the moment you think you're going through something, then you've fallen into the kingdom of the God of this world.
It just kind of hit me what the offer was, what this offer is. Satan is offering all of his power. He's offering, the offer is you can take away all the opposition. You can take away all the suffering. You can fix everything.
The only purpose of time and space is antagonism. It's not here so you can become a nice person. It's not here so you can be have your little ideas conformed. The only purpose of time and space is antagonism, but not about you. It's antagonism against that seed of Christ in you that you to find out whether you will continue with him in his test or are you seduced off the path. And that's being seduced off the path to lean on your own arm of understanding about anything, even the stuff that are the very basis of survival, is called fornication. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. That means that you would be totally and completely created, accomplish what you were created for, which is to be a vessel. That's all. What? There's something going on over there.
I was thinking about all the bad stuff happened in the 40s. Rain for 40 days, Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. I was thinking about how the generation had to die in the wilderness so
the new seed could come
seed
forth.
Could enter the
Right, 40 is just it's always connected with the word generation, and whatever your generation is. So I mean, it just. But he, are you hearing this? He showed them all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and their power, and their glory. And Satan said, all this has been delivered over to me. And to whomsoever I will give it. What's Christ's response? If thou wilt worship me, which is really worshiping yourself, that's what the point of worshiping the devil is giving breath to yourself. If you will give breath to yourself, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now that leaves you out of the picture. Remember, worship means give importance to, give breath to, and that's what the word love means. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. It's the verb, agapeo. It gives breath to. So if you're giving importance to anything other than the Father, then you are really, from God's point of view, you are worshiping the evil one, which is you. And so the temple has lost its purpose temporarily, or it's been defiled. You really see this? I pray. So you can't be the subject of your little sentences anymore. What? Gary, you found an exception.
For a moment, I was thinking of the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And how, as for a moment, I thought it came before this, but it didn't. It came after this. And yet, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he struggled with everything. The cup was all of time and space and stuff. And
he struggled with it when he said, what shall I say? Before that, he said, what shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? No, for this hour, this moment, came I unto the world. And that must be your response to everything that you go through. If you have anything that's happening to you that you believe is not for this reason came I unto the world, then you've been deceived again.
puts you in the place of his temptation as opposed to thinking there's something.
Yeah, I promise you that it is impossible from the point of view of God for you to go through anything, to anything be your struggle. It's impossible.
In that scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Father of my soul, this other thing is troubled," and then his body sweat great drops of blood.
Yeah, but wait, you're getting two things confused. The first was before the garden when he said, "Father, my soul is troubled," because he sensed what was about to happen. He said, "Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? No, for this hour came I into the world." Then he proceeded into the garden. The whole thing happened again. He struggled with it even to the point of shedding blood. That's why the scriptures and Paul say, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin," or striving against self.
Well, my point is, his body, the thing he possessed, the physical thing he possessed, his body, which was in subjection, sweat, drops of blood. The same as when he was fasting, his body hungered. That's not...
It's not him. You've been deceived your whole life. You thought you were this poor little independent you that had to walk on tiptoes to get things right and to do the right thing. It's all a lie. It was necessary, again, the pillars and the groves and all those worship on your high places has been necessary for you to play your little thought games and create your little realities in your mind and do all that stuff. Just as for Israel, the worship on the high place was permitted. My only question to you, as I said at the beginning of this, have you dedicated the temple, your temple, to the living God? If you have, then all that has to be left behind. It has to be divorced. Because from God's perspective, it's a childish thing that is meaningless. Act. It's less than meaningless because it crucifies the Son of God afresh. You must sort of get it by now that the church has been hijacked by Babylon.
I have something to say about this. If you've dedicated your temple, the temple, then everything that comes against you is to be seen as his temptation.
Amen. You were simply filling up the affliction or the test that's necessary to complete for the body of Christ, for his bride. Now we are the body of Christ. That doesn't mean we're here. We are the body, the church, that belongs to Christ. We are the bride of Christ. But they're in that body, there's neither male nor female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, black or white, young or old. Because we are a new creation that hasn't anything to do with the old one. Except as the vessel to carry it around. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, broken earthen vessels, that the treasure, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. But we always, if you don't see that you were buried, then you cannot possibly understand this one that's raised himself from the deadly head wound that's keep trying to bring you back into the kingdom of darkness. And so therefore you walk around deceived and you think it's just what you're supposed to go through. It's just idiotic. What? I'm going to smack you if you don't tell me what you're doing. How do I do what? Know that something's going on?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a black hole that's sucking all the energy out of the room.
That would be you.
Right now, that's you. Mostly it's one of the airy guys, but you get the chit today. Notice I said chit.
I do have something to share, to confess. mind really doesn't believe in
well, guess what? Oh, that's a shock. I'm shocked. There are Norwegians in Norway.
I'm witnessing that strongly. I mean, it's been happening in the mornings. It's like some mornings I come in here and it's great. I'm on tune. And some mornings I come in here and my mind can do nothing but come against everything.
Of course.
I'm just thinking that not really running with it, but my mind is doing this.
Well, isn't it? Does that start to maybe tell you something?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Reach over and whisper in Gary's ear. Do not believe your mind. Do not try to apprehend this with your mind, because you will automatically pollute it.
But I have to tell you what my mind is doing. Mind is saying, this is all just really fairy tale. Middle Eastern kook wrote this crap up. You know, they're kooky today. Why? What makes you think they wasn't kooky back then?
They were.
And here we are, even kookier, to discuss this crap that some kook wrote 100,000 years ago. That's what my mind is saying. And you're so kook that it's taken all this way too far.
I totally agree with everything you said.
That makes a lot of sense.
That makes more sense than anything anybody has said.
However,
what are the alternatives?
That, and there's this real thing that every once in a while it's a
spark.
Freedom ring or a cord in me strikes.
Yeah, you know, it's more than anything,
something real.
Amen.
That's what.
And you can't know that until you know everything else is crap. Oh, but you're not supposed to say crap in Bible study. Screw you again. You don't look any better. All right. Welcome to morning Bible study, Christian. So thou shalt worship, give breath to, give importance to, give only the Lord. That's the bottom line. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, I shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hand shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now the evil one, his mind is son of man, acknowledged who he was. Who were the first people that knew he was Messiah? It was the demon-possessed ones. His mind knew what was going on. His mind did not want to die, or kept coming back up again.
Excuse me, childish question, but it keeps bothering. You don't see a lot of this in the New Testament. It says he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle. Have you thought about? I mean, did he like fly him there and set him on top of the temple?
No.
Huh? No.
He did it. All this is in his. He's doing all of this in his mind.
So this is.
He's
like
creating. This is. He's doing. He's taking whatever you could possibly think of and bringing it to the tip of the iceberg, to the top.
This isn't saying he physically picked it up.
Well, I don't. Nobody knows, but I don't think so. I think it's...
Yeah,
sure I am. But here's what he said. And he confessed the scripture. The evil one quoted the scriptures that concern Messiah. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, what that means, remember what in Romans where it says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge? That's a strange construction in translation, but it says they put God to the test for the purposes of believing him. Now, every single time that you do this, This It probably is. We probably should best call this one the Scruggs, Michael Scruggs Act. The Michael Scruggs Act is, get me out of this one and I'll believe this crap. Or words to that effect. Every time you're doing that, you're putting God to the test for the purposes of approving Him. In other words, you, by the act of doing it, you're elevating yourself above God. It's like going to Frank Sinatra and say, oh, you're such a great singer. Who in the hell are you to judge what he does as great?
You're a good God, but you could
do Yeah, you're a good God, but... oh, God, you're so good.
We just give you the praise.
Yeah, we just give you all the praise and honor and glory. Isn't that big of you? It's Babylonian bullshit. I didn't say that. Does everybody see this? So no more of this putting God to the test for the purposes of approving Him. You're not your own business anymore. Like Ronnie's running around saying, oh, the doctrine has failed me. So all of these things that he just went through here, these tests, are the same tests that Eve went through when she failed. And the same ones that in 1 John, go there real quick. 1 John chapter 1 verse chapter 2 verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love, and again, the word love here is agapeo, a verb. It means give breath to. It really means to worship. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, you could easily talk there, all that is in the world, da-di-da-di, and the shame of life, because shame and pride are the same thing. So if you're using shame as an excuse for anything, then you're still worshiping this world. So, Jesus, Eve was tempted, and it went, and snake, what are you? It was a parable. The snake is a parable of you and I, of our minds. That's why Jacob didn't ever use his name. Remember, he didn't use his own name until the angel demanded it of him, and he wouldn't let him go until he did. Because the word Jacob means the way of the snake. Now, the angel of God is going to bust your thigh anyway, so you might as well. What's your name? If you think your name is this whatever name the accident of your parents put on you, then you're goofy. Your name is Jacob, the way of the snake, the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. Oh no, God loves me. Well, that's like the Pharisees we talked about last night. The love of God is centered in the Son, exclusively. Anyway, all of these had to do with the test to see whether the pillars in Christ as Son of Man had been destroyed. Which is another way of saying that his Jerusalem that now was destroyed. Please, if you don't believe this, search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. But don't beat me up in your mind anymore. I'm getting all bruised. Gary, you're doing it again.
You can't see me.
I don't have to.
about the way of the snake and how it is wonderfully pictured in the practice of Kundalini Yoga, where it describes every aspect of the
of your life,
the way the snake works and operates and does his thing.
Have you ever been to a charismatic meeting at Christ for the Nations? You saw Kundalini in action.
I've seen it in the hot seats where that cobra continues to...
I see it right now. It's time to stop it. You know it's stupid. Anybody have anything else? Take a big guy.